Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
Well, here is what's happening Tuesday, September 16th, a landmark episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, professional broadcaster and struggling rat rod builder, master mechanic and metal butcher. Mr. Shane Osborne is with us tonight. Hello.
I just noticed the banner's up.
Yeah, Steve hung up a bunch of nifty decorations and stuff. We almost look professional in here now.
I think I'm going to have to put a few shots and throw it up on our Facebook page.
You're going to take a few shots? I think that'd be great. Let's all have shots.
I'll do a little of...
I got some good looking bourbon right over here. We can have.
I got something related to shots a little later on in the show, anyways.
Yeah, and of course you know that that is Steve, the only producer on the planet who knows all the words to "They're Coming to Take Me Away."
Yes.
Back to the blacktop is first as usual. Ooh, the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away. Ha ha. What is happening in the non-Tesla technical world tonight, sir?
Well, speaking of Tesla and electrics,
I didn't.
Porsche is looking at adding more electrics to its stable. Porsche is not only just getting ready to roll out its first pure battery electric vehicle, the Taycan.
The what?
The Taycan, T-A-Y-C-A-N.
Wow.
Taycan.
Why would they name a car that?
I probably need to look it up. It's probably some special
toucan.
It's probably German.
It's
yep.
No, yep. No, really? Okay, all right.
Yeah,
so they.
It is Porsche, you know.
It is Porsche.
Why would you name a car the Cayenne?
Yeah. Well. Okay. So there you are.
Cayenne, the Taycan, but not a toucan. Toucan.
Oh, I'm thinking we're calling it the Toucan.
The Toucan, but. Fruit Loops. But also, it apparently sees the opportunity to electrify more of its lineup with battery-powered products, generating more sales than half of its sales by 2025 is their goal. The automaker revealed one possibility at the Geneva Motor Show last winter, a concept battery SUV dubbed the Mission E Cross Turismo. I love these names. I'm an American, so
is there any way they could make this more complex and difficult to say?
Turismo.
Le Gran Turismo.
I like the XK5 or something like that.
Yeah, have the accent to it.
Yes, Turismo.
I want the Ford.
What? Yes, that's a Turismo. That is essentially a high-riding version of the original Mission E concept that will become the Taycan sports car when it goes into production next year. Alternatively, the performance division of Volkswagen Group could electrify the smaller of its two current crossovers, the Macan. And still
what?
Models will follow, according
to the
Porsche.
The Taycan and the Macan?
Macan.
Stop
M-A-C-A-N. Macan, the Taycan.
They're coming out with the bacon pretty quick. Yeah, you know it's next.
Oh, this is kind of funny.
It's on the grill.
Oh, my gosh.
I want to see the grill on the bacon. That would actually be pretty good.
Oh, gosh.
When did we lose control of the show?
Oh, well... Okay, let's get a little sobering view of the Euro car market. According to according to the CEO of Volkswagen, they have warned that the country's powerful auto industry faces a 50-50 chance of suffering the same fate that nearly destroyed Detroit's big three manufacturers. Herb Diess said during a supplier conference in Wolfsburg, VW's hometown.
Wolfsburg.
It's basically doing the same thing where... We know that the big three got big bailouts, and if it wasn't for that, they would be all shuttered. Fortunately, they found buyers like Fiat and others. But it sounds like they're having their own
And the United States government.
And the United States government.
Welcome to Chevrolet.
Yes. So anyways, they're saying here in the next few years, they may be facing the very same thing. They're going to need big bailouts.
So Volkswagen's going to come with a block of government cheese? Is that the deal?
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on? Well, now...
Where's Elon Musk when you need him?
Well, speaking of Elon Musk, the PT of Barnum & Bailey of automakers is at it again. He is making news. Guess what? Yep. He is decided to file for trademark for a special type of tequila, according to the reports. Tesla CEO Elon Musk...
You're killing
filed
me.
For an internet intended use trademark for application Monday of a tequila called Tesla-quila.
Stop. Just stop. Don't even.
I'm not kidding. No. Tesla-quila.
You're making this up. Tesla-kila.
Tesla-kila.
It's electrifying.
You got to tell. I tell you what. This guy is better than any of the other. This guy knows how to promote his company and himself and keep himself. There isn't a week that doesn't go by that I don't see.
So instead
something.
Of a worm in the bottle, it's going to have a battery? What? I mean, come on.
Tesla-kila.
Tesla-kila.
Tesla-kila. They filed for
the moon.
Well, he's already trying to do. He's already got. Oh, yeah. Never mind. Just too many things. speaking of tooting one's horn, we have a sad note. One would-be rock and roll star, Seahawk owner, and co-founder of Microsoft and space junkie Paul Allen passed away yesterday after a long bout with cancer.
Yep, 65.
Yep.
You know what my favorite Paul Allen thing was? I mean, you know, Seahawks, marine research, all kinds of things. He has philanthropy and all that kind of stuff. My absolute favorite thing that I will remember him and thank him for is the Experience Music Project.
Yes.
Which, you're not a Seattle
Star
person.
Star Trek headquarters.
Well, it is a truly amazing museum that's dedicated to music. It was originally going to be the Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, Experience
Memorial.
Museums. Yep.
But it covers all of music, and it is truly fascinating.
And pop psychology or pop. Culture and
great stuff.
It is, and if you want to know what it looks like, it's supposed to be a smashed guitar. That's what it is.
Yeah, it looks more like a helicopter crashed.
It does.
It's the building is.
It always reminded me of when you leave plastic in the sun too long.
Yeah. Or like a pumpkin that after Halloween.
Yeah, a metal pumpkin.
It starts the pumpkin starts shriveling inside itself.
It's truly a weird building. If you haven't ever seen the EMP, just Google it, Experience Music Project Seattle, and you will see the building. There's aerial photography of it, and it's truly weird looking.
It is. But it still contains some of the
very
most
cool inside.
Beautiful, cool stuff.
Yeah.
GM is now entering the ranks of extended warranties with its latest ploy to hook would-be buyers. The company is offering what they call the first ever true extended bumper-to-bumper warranty that covers Chevrolet and GM product for 5 years or 60,000 miles, whichever comes first, while Cadillac and Buick owners can get a grand total of 6 years and 75,000 mile warranty. Well, they're keeping up with Mitsubishi and everybody else who already offers it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And some of the others that offer 100,000.
And there's Hyundai, like 10-year, 100,000 mile.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, I guess they got to move up ranks here.
You drive that in a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, there are certainly.
Yeah,
average,
my son with
the old
Uber.
The average of 12,000 miles a year is kind of a tough figure these days.
Is.
Like, really? Oh, only 12? I mean, you know. Done road trips longer than that.
Yep.
Exactly. I'm just looking at this. Ongoing trade wars. BMW expects its earnings to drop by almost $600 million next year if the trade war between the U.S. and China remains frozen in place. The German automaker CFO Nicholas Peter said during an interview with Automobile Wirtschaft, which is Germany's leading automotive magazine. You can tell I don't read it. Tariffs between the United States and China have cut exports of sport utility vehicles from its U.S. plant in Spartanburg, South Carolina, to China, resulting in a hit to earnings of just below 300 million euros. So the tariff wars are on. We're seeing the results in the would-be, could-be results going on in the automobile. We could cover that every week on here, but we're not.
If I coulda, shoulda, woulda results.
Oh, I know. And then speaking of foreign things going on, political things, Ford chairman announced that it exits from Saudi investment meetings. Bill Ford, the chairman of Ford Motor Company, is leading an exodus of high-profile business leaders who have decided to pull out from upcoming investor conference sponsored by Saudi Arabia due in part to the fact that, well, they put a hit out on one of their journalists.
they haven't found the guy yet either.
No, they haven't. They figured it's like one of the Iceman where he used to butcher him, put him in suitcases.
Yeah, was seen going to the Saudi consulate 2 weeks ago and hasn't been seen since.
No.
So what do you think? Well, I don't know. He could be anywhere now.
I was going to put a big reflection on that, but I decided better not.
Nah.
So,
well, they're not going to come and get us.
Now for some fun facts. Did you know people are holding on to their cars longer before buying new ones?
Why, yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
And trucks actually are held on a lot longer. And
yes.
I think that's probably because people that have businesses buy trucks and they run them into the ground.
Well, it's also because the truck, I mean, almost
and
every vehicle is lasting longer now.
Yeah.
If you can't get 200,000 miles out of a vehicle, it's not a good car. That's all there is to it. We'll talk more. Glad to have you with us. Today's trivia question is coming up. We've got a cool new product review on Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
For For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to RavenstoneVaporHoning.com. Redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
We're back with the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. It's time for the windshield view. And this week, we have found some cool items to showcase.
Very cool
items. Yeah.
Very cool. Yes. So there are people out there who have cars that have huge dashboards, lots of room, big interiors, and all kinds of places to put stuff like accessories and, you know, stereo and all that stuff. Then there's a lot of other people who have minimalist sort of vehicles, yes, especially the rat rod guys, but guys with, you know, an older car that doesn't have a lot of room, or maybe you hate the stereo you have, but you don't want to leave one in the car.
Or cut a hole.
So this, I saw this thing online. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but I actually got one. So what it is, and there's not, it's made offshore, so I'm not going to do the name of it, but you can get it through this website called Gear Shanty, S-H-A-N-T-Y, Gear Shanty. And this thing, what it is, it plugs into the usual DC power plug, like it used to be the cigarette lighter, yeah, that cigarette kind of lighter thing, right? So it plugs in. It's got a miniature FM tuner, two dials, one on either side of the tuner readout. The whole thing is about 4 inches wide, so it's really small. It's not any bigger than your smartphone. In fact, it's actually smaller than your smartphone. And it's got two USB plugs on either side of the thing and a card reader on the bottom. There's a mini plug on the top, so if you wanted to plug in USB speakers, or you could actually, it'll track and pair with USB anything. So what it does is you plug it in, power comes on. You pair it with your phone, which, of course, everybody's got a smartphone that has all of their tunes on it. Or you got an MP3 player, perhaps, that, you know, has all your tunes on it. So it'll play through the existing car stereo if you want it to. Or if you don't have one, you can get a couple of USB speakers, put them any place, and it'll pair with them.
How does it bridge between the car stereo without any...
It's Bluetooth.
Yeah, but car stereos don't have
ones. Some of them do. If you have one that does, it'll use...
Right.
Yeah, so... But if you don't, you can get, you know, a couple of Bluetooth speakers, put them anywhere in the car. And basically, if you had a rat rod with a really, no room behind the dashboard and you didn't want to take up a bunch of space,
right,
you could literally set one up, put it in a lunchbox and take it with you.
You could bypass basically the whole stereo system.
Yeah, you don't need to wire anything
except
the plug. Plug
that sucker in and then have a couple little speakers.
And the best thing about it, I plugged it in today in the truck that I was driving just to test it out. And I got a couple of, you know, cheesy Bluetooth speakers that I just thought, well, I'll just try it and see. Sound is pretty good.
Good.
And clarity is nice. If you have a balance control or an EQ of some sort, it will work just fine. Here's the catch. Not the catch, but the oh my gosh. It's $26.
Wow.
It's $26. I ordered it offshore, and it took about 3 weeks to get here. So, you know, it's, there's that. But it's a very cool little deal. And what I'm going to do is I will put a picture of it on the Facebook page and on the website so people can see what it actually looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm not selling these. I'm going to get a nickel out of this. We don't care. But it's kind of a cool little device. And if you're looking for some way to get music in your ride without spending a huge amount of money, and if you're like so many other people who have a smartphone where you got all your tunes in the smartphone, this is it, you know, because you can't, the smartphone speakers suck, basically. So you could have actual ride quality music and you wouldn't have to leave it in the ride. You could take it, and it literally would fit in your shirt pocket if you wanted it to.
Oh, yeah, Bluetooth's come a long way.
Yeah, huge.
Well, speaking of stereos, the thing, I just been playing with my the Mazda truck that I got, and it's going to be my son's truck. Put in new speakers, found the subwoofer that was in the garage, put that in, so now the thing just bumps. And the problem with the stereo is I have to have the manual to try to figure out how to use it. I have to do the I put the new one in my van. It shoved right in there, plays fine through my speakers, but I'm like, where's the treble, where's the bass, where's the front, where's the back? And I'm like, it's got 20 buttons and they're all multiple choice uses.
If
I click here,
do, press,
do I get
do you push, it, push, push? Do you press and hold?
And
which is
my old stereo that I had a really, it was an awesome stereo, and it had separate treble, separate bass, little thing. And what's nice is when you're driving down the road, you don't have to sit there and try to bup. You just turn it. And call me old fashioned, but
you're old fashioned.
I do miss having some of that control by my fingers.
By your fingertips.
Yeah. Well, I've had the thing for months, and I'm still trying to figure out where to do the fader, where to do the front, the back. I can set it for jazz or rock or whatever, but I'm like, no, that's not what I want. I want to shift it from front to rear, you know. And I know it says it, but I'm like, okay, it has this little number in a letter. Now I'm looking at the picture, and I'm like, it doesn't show me anything that says that.
The instructions on a lot of those things are sort of arcane, but, you know, like, I mean, anybody will tell you, if you get a new stereo system or you rebuild the old, it doesn't matter, you're going to sit parked and you're going to figure out how it works.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
I am still playing with it.
Yeah, so that you don't do it while you're driving.
Now, my son,
you can't do it while you're driving.
He'll take his smartphone, he'll plug the jack into, because there's a jack in the new stereo,
plug
it in, and go, Dad, we're going to listen to my music when I'm driving. Okay. You know, and I can't even... I'm like, son, is that the kind of language we're supposed to be listening to? And it's like he loves rap. And, well, it's the beat, Dad.
Oh, I see. But I thought you talked about music.
Yeah, I know.
Because rap, never mind.
But anyways, he loves the boombox. I mean, he loves that.
Well, that is one good thing about an awful lot of the new stereos. If you don't, you know, you don't want to use the system that it comes with, almost all of them have some sort of an accessory plug.
Yeah.
And you can load in subs. You can load in all kinds of other stuff if you want to.
And we put a dead switch so you could just flip it and it's on, flip it and it's off.
Oh, right on.
It's great. It's so it interrupts. So anyway.
Cadillac's got a mute. It's kind of cool. Even the older ones, if you're driving along and, you know, like you get a phone call or something, you just go bop and it could be blasting the, you know, sunroof open and it just stops.
Yep.
And then when you push it to come back after you're all done, it takes a second. It takes you about 5 seconds, and it kind of comes up. It's like, oh, thank you for not just blasting my eardrums.
Oh, you mean like the 8-track that used to go down, and then it could come back up after it click, click.
It's nice, because you don't want your eyes to bleed while you're driving.
There's a few songs that in my head, it's like I'll listen to it, and I'm like, I'm waiting for
the
fade out, the pop and the fade out. I was like, do you feel like we do? That's the one of them that was that way.
Well, so here's another cool product that we actually have talked about before, but I saw a deal on TV here just earlier this week. Well, last week. The guy was talking about going to take your car in for a service, and, you know, they'll bring out the scanner and they'll hook it up to your car. And that scanner that
they charge you $85.
Well, and the scanner itself, a lot of people say, well, gee, if I had one myself, I could do this. Well, those scanners are $2,000.
Yep.
So nobody's going to buy one for themselves. It's just not something that you do. Well, there's this company. Now, there's a couple of them, but there's one that does a really, really good job with a home based scanner. The thing is about the size of a salt shaker, and it's made by a company called Fixd, F-I-X-D. And you can order them. You can get them, again, online. Very simple. If you look up F-I-X-D, you'll find it. They're about $40. And you plug it into the little multi-pin dongle underneath the car that you plug in everything else.
OBD2 port.
Thank you. That was that. I knew that's what that was. It's the dongle, as far as I'm concerned. But
the dongle.
Yeah. So anyway, you plug it in, and it actually reads through an app in your phone. It will scan the exact same stuff that the mechanics scanner does. It gives you the same error codes. It gives you the same information. In fact, it actually gives you a little bit more information than the mechanics scanner does. Now, it doesn't give as much background information as the dealership ones. But in terms of what's wrong with my car and what do I need to do and where do I need to take it, it'll tell you all that stuff. And it stores a history of whatever alerts the thing has given you, so you can look at your service records back over time once you start using the thing. And for $40, it's peace of mind, because you can go to the dealership and say, go ahead and scan my thing, and they'll charge you, but then at least you know that they're giving you the correct information.
Most auto parts stores actually have those
things. They
will
do that, and
I had a $3,500 scanner.
Uh-huh.
Had it updated every year for several hundred dollars.
Oh, yeah.
And then these came out. And that thing became useless.
Yeah, it's a doorpost. Yeah.
I have one on my phone. I think I paid $60 for it. When it first came out.
Portable. Yeah. It's just portable. You take it anywhere.
Yeah.
It gives you all the same information. You can even sit there while your car's running and look at it, how it's running. And it's from everything from the O2 sensor sweep to the RPMs to the dwell. I mean, it's all there right there.
They're very cool.
Yep.
And a lot of insurance companies will give you a little scanner that you can put in your car to track your driving. It's no bigger than that thing. It's the same.
Yeah, all plugs in the same port.
Yeah, same size. Fascinating stuff.
We'll stay right here for more of our interesting conversation on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust after these messages.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone.
Welcome to the Safety Tip of the Month. This month's topic is high-speed riding. According to tire manufacturers, insurance companies, law enforcement, and common sense, riding at high speed is dangerous and can cause a motorcycle accident, including serious personal injury or even death. Regardless of the speed and handling capabilities of your motorcycle and its tires, a loss of control can result from exceeding the maximum speed allowed by law or warranted by traffic, weather, vehicle, road conditions, or rider skills. No tire, regardless of its design or speed rating, has unlimited capacity for speed, and a sudden tire failure can occur if its limits are exceeded. So here's a tip you can take to the racetrack. If you're a speed freak, join a local race club and take your passions for speed to the racetrack, where you will have a controlled environment in which to ride and in a process gain valuable riding skills. By the way, never use race-only tires on public roads, nor tires that have been subjected to the motorcycle dynamometer testing. The stress from this process may result in tread compound degradation and possible tire failure.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome back to the Surge segment of the show. And this week we get a chance to talk about Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame, which happened this last Saturday in Linwood. Well, did it in Linwood, Washington?
It was.
Wow. It was sponsored by, well, we didn't, who did put that on? It was
The Hot Rod Hall of Fame is basically a separate organization, and they spend a lot of time looking at people who are worthy of induction into
that's
the Hall of
right.
Fame for the things that they do for the sport of, you know, automotive.
Well, I know who
cars.
We've got talking, and that's Ron Foreman, who is actually president of the Rat Bastards Car Club, who got a surprise at the banquet on Saturday.
Yes, he did.
And so we thought we would bring Ron on, chat a little bit, and find out what he thought when he discovered that he was honored that night.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ron, good to have you on the show.
Good to be here.
So, if I may, since I was at the banquet, can I sort of set this thing up a little bit?
Set away.
Well, so the banquet is pretty huge, and every year there's all kinds of people. Again, it's the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame. There is a national one, but in this one, there's about 400 people there this year, and a number of people get inducted every year. There's a lot of sponsorships, or not sponsorships, but scholarships given out for the local trade and technical schools that produce automotive programs. And that was a terrific thing. Generated about $7,000 in donations for ongoing scholarships and things. It was just a tremendous evening. But as so many award shows every year, they induct a few people into the Hot Rod Hall of Fame for the things that they've done for the sport over the years. And so here we all are sitting in the back, and a lot of the Rat Bastards Car Club was located in several tables near the back of the hall. And Marv Nielsen, who is the director of the Hot Rod Hall of Fame, was up going through this wonderful history story about some young fellow who got his start, playing with, matchbox cars in the dirt in front of his house, and, began to get involved in building. Ron is sitting there, and he's listening to the story, and then Marv got to the point about where he finally built a car that he'd always wanted, this nice Model A with a checkerboard firewall, and Ron's head sort of lifts up, and he's... I can see the expression on your face change. And so it turns out to be Ron. Ron's going to get inducted in. And they brought Marcia up to help, Ron's wife, Marcia, who's been on the show before. They brought her up to help with the discussion. And it was only after she got up there and, was going through a little bit of the additional story, and they brought Ron up. It was only after that that they discovered, or she discovered, that they were going to induct both of you into the Hall of Fame. And I tell you, it was a tremendous evening. And before we get into the details of that, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. I didn't know it was Linwood. I thought it was the LeMay Museum.
Well, the people from LeMay were there, but it's at the Linwood Convention Center, which is a really nice facility.
It was
a tremendous thing.
They have had it at the LeMay.
Yeah.
In Spanaway and in Tacoma.
Yeah, it moves around every year.
Okay.
Well, Ron,
I just want to say congratulations. And Marcia, congratulations. You got the jacket now, don't you?
Thanks, huh?
And a nice plaque.
Yeah. And a nice plaque.
Yeah, we got a couple of nice plaques.
Get a plaque.
And decorate walls.
That's right. Jacket. Yes, very nice jacket. We're going to put the, I got a great picture of the two of you holding the plaques and wearing the jackets. We're going to put that on the Facebook site for the show, just so people can see what's going on. I got a kick out of Marv's story about, the Rat Bastards, it's 10 years, right? Well, longer than that, really.
Yeah.
Well, really longer than that. We've only been putting on shows for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah, he said, the history of the club is such that, Ron and the Bastards have done all kinds of things for different charities. And, you know, they just find a charity. Somebody says, hey, is there any way you can help us? And, you know, Ron's answer is, well, sure, we'll just put on a car show and give you all the money. And that became kind of a theme there for a while. Have you ever actually put on a car show and kept the money?
No.
Not all of it.
That's tremendous. It's tremendous.
Now, Ron, it's going to be winter here soon. Are you still going to be driving around in that rat rod of yours?
Oh, I may or may not.
We've driven it in the snow.
Oh, yeah. Good. But it's not.
Well, we were to a top in a show, and it started snowing on the 410 highway about 5 miles before and on top, and on about 5 miles on the other side on our way to Toppenish. And it warmed up to be about like 80 degrees once we got over to Yakima.
Yep.
But it's below zero or below freezing up there up on the top of the pass there.
Over the passes, yeah. Well, I rode with you over to Chelan and it rained over the top on us pretty good. You have to understand, folks, there's no roof on Ron's car. There's basically a big spider web made out of rebar. doesn't keep much of the water off.
You just got to go faster.
That's it. We just go faster.
Well, how does it feel to be part of the Inner Sanctum now, to be part of the Hot Rod Hall of Fame?
Well, it's quite an honor, really. But some of the people that were inducted have had a full life of racing and funny cars. One of the guys was one of the first funny car owners and builders in the Northwest. I think it was only started in, he had a 62 Chevy Nova and he turned it into a funny car after they started the sport with the funny cars. I think it was like early 70s. And that was quite a story that they told about the guy from Spokane. I can't remember the gentleman's name.
Yeah, but it sure was.
It was really cool. I asked him if that was nitrous on his little car he was on. It was actually oxygen, but he got a kick out of it.
Yeah, it was tremendous.
There was $7,000 that was raised for the burn victims for the Phoenix program, the Phoenix campsites for the burn kids.
Yeah,
that
it was terrific.
Pretty cool.
And that was just right there at the dinner. That wasn't even, you know, had nothing to do with the scholarship money or anything. That was just pass the basket around and generated that right there. So it's pretty great from 400 people.
Wow.
Doesn't it include what they got from the raffle?
Exactly.
Well, that comes kind of later. Yeah.
You weren't raffling off your car, were you?
The sculpture.
Oh, very
and
good.
And I think you could put that on your website, too, if you wanted to, Brady. On the
Say, what's that?
The sculpture that we created, you could probably put that on your Facebook page there at the whole Horsepower Chrome and Rust, too.
You know, I can and I will. I have a story about that sculpture if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
So we're out there now, and you folks have to get this picture. This is it looks like a giant sundial stuck on a big standard that is on the ground. It spins, it moves, it's all made out of car parts. It's fascinating, and again, I will show you a picture of it. But I'm standing there looking at it, and next to me is Trudy Kaufchin from the LeMay collection at Marymount. And we were talking, and she said, I want to get a picture of that. And I said, you know, it spins. You should get a video. She says, it spins? So I spun the thing for her, and she says, oh, that's really very cool. And she said they had just, the LeMay collection, has just secured a couple of Rodin sculptures that they're going to put in the garden out there.
Hmm.
Now, Rodin is no fool. I mean, this is big-time artwork here. And she said this thing would be tremendous out there in the garden with the sculptures.
Wow.
And I said, man, I'm going to put all my raffle tickets in here. If I win this, I'm donating it in Ron's name to the thing. But I didn't win it, darn it.
Yep.
Me either.
One of the street rats from Covington won it.
Nice. Well, man, you should tell him that Trudy is interested in it because it would look tremendous out there. I thought that was a really nice thing for her to say.
So
it was really nice.
So how many people were inducted this year? Do you remember?
Six. Was it six?
Yeah, I think
six or eight.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look.
And is this just people from Washington State or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is a chapter of the Hot Rod Hall of Fame, Washington State? Because I'm not Washington familiar with this.
Yeah, it's the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And there is a national Hot Rod
Hall
of Fame.
That's what I thought.
But I don't know that the Washington State organization is a chapter of the National, okay, or if they're separate but equal. Do you know, Ron?
I'm not sure, no.
Yeah. I just know they've been around for a long time. They started in the 90s, early 90s.
Excellent.
And
I think it was 86, I think.
Yeah.
I would think Jim quite a Green's in there.
Good information to know. I'm just a rookie. I'm just a newbie. I don't know. Yeah. I'll find out.
Well, you can't actually, if you go online, you can do the Washington State Hot Rod Hall of Fame, .com, and it's there. And they have a section that has all of the inductees over the years. So you can look and see who else in there. I mean, I did quickly, but I didn't write any of them down because I knew we were going to talk with you and didn't do that. But yeah, it's a fascinating website. There is some great stuff in there. They talk about their philanthropy. They talk about the history and how they set up the board. And I have to say, I had a conversation earlier before the event with one of the board members who let on to me that they were going to induct Marcia as well and swore me to secrecy. Marcia, I'm sorry, I couldn't tell you. But I was really thrilled. I'm thrilled for the both of you. I think it's wonderful, and congratulations for sure.
Thank you so much, Brady. So thank all you guys. Thank you very much.
Oh, you bet. Now, does that mean that you can show up and charge money now to be at different events?
Yeah, he gets his own parking place.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah, royalties.
Yeah.
Royalty.
Oh. I don't think there's any perks like that.
No. Do they give you a little magnet to put on your car so you can, like when you go to the car shows, right, you get all these things. Do they give you something like that to put on there? It says
a little flag on the fender.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
I mean, you got to toot your horn when you get a chance.
That's what you get. You get a squeeze bulb horn that says Hall of Fame.
Then they give me a sticker to put on my windshield that I'm a member of the Hot Rod Hall of Fame.
Oh, very good.
Magnet name tag and the nice, beautiful walnut plaque.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. You know,
The jacket's going to, to me,
the jacket is very cool.
The jacket would be the coolest. Yeah. I'd be wearing that thing around everywhere. You know, it's like, wow.
Yeah. Cool.
I think they should get you some Hall of Fame temporary tattoos.
I got some Rat Bastard ones you want.
I know. I got a whole whole pocket full of them.
They're temporary, right?
That's
They're
right.
The what do they call, the henna or whatever those things are?
No. You put them on, they don't come off.
Yeah.
Throw them on like you the gumball machine.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
So did Brady tell you the news that Marcia and I were going to the Emirates Car Show in Dubai?
Oh, no. You have to tell us that story. No,
please,
tell us the whole story.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to, but this is an exclusive. I was invited to be a judge at the Emirates Car Show in Dubai. So I've been doing my homework on studying on all these Dubai? No. What am I trying to say? What kind of car is that? Porsches. Bugattis.
Oh, sure.
Lamborghini.
Yeah. The Bugattis and the... Yeah.
Right. All expenses paid, all inclusive. All I have to do is pay for Marcia's airfare, and she gets to come with me.
That's excellent.
They're going to put you up at some high-rise hotel?
Yes. That's the last I heard, that we were staying at the tallest building in the world.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not the Dubai Motel 6?
No.
Well, I think the Dubai Motel 6 probably has gold faucets, too.
I'm sure of it. Of course it does.
And nobody worries about it. No one worries about anything. Go ahead.
I was told you can actually see the earth turn from the upper stories.
Wow. Well,
now,
When is the show?
From the 2nd to the 9th. And the show is actually the 6th, 7th, and 8th, but we're leaving the 2nd, and we'll be back the 9th or the
and
day of the 10th.
We're talking November, right?
No, December.
Oh, yeah. December.
Yeah.
Oh, that's excellent. Man, what an honor.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
Well, you have to come back on the show afterwards and tell us about it.
And you have to take a lot of pictures, please.
I asked him, are you sure you have the right Rat Bastard? That's a little president of the car club up here in the Northwest. I was quite surprised.
Well, that is tremendous.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I think that is excellent. And never mind. I won't go
now
there.
Now, they're shipping your car over there, right? So you can drive it while you're there?
Drive it while you're around.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Wow. Put it in the contract.
Well, listen, for sure, I want to congratulate you both for your induction. It's just tremendous. It was an honor for me just to be there and watch it happen. And I know you got great things coming up down the line. So, you know, don't stop doing what you're doing because apparently it works.
And for more information, you can go to www. And what's the
Rat Bastards Car Club TM is on Facebook.
Yes, go to.
Yep.
And
you can also go to the Infestation, the Rat Bastards Infestation, which is their annual show, and you can see all of that stuff.
Excellent. For all your parts cleaning needs, turn to Ravenstone Vapor Honing. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is a fast, economical, safe alternative to standard media blasting. Ravenstone Vapor Honing uses a system developed by Rolls-Royce back in 1944, a water-based cleaning system that restores parts back to factory condition with no scouring or heating to metal or damage to rubber and plastic parts. Ravenstone Vapor Honing is located in Snohomish, Washington. RavenstoneVaporHoning.com, redefining the way parts restoration is done.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
A soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at us! We're over here!
Justin! OMG! He just looked... I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information, contact YouGottaBelieve at YouGottaBelieve.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Well, here we are, the fourth segment of our show. This is Cars Confidential. We have story time with Brady.
Ooh, hot rod stories. This
story time
this
Brady.
Week.
I like it.
It is this. Hello, boys and girls. At story time today, we'll be talking about the asphalt-eating olds. A great story from the Old Car Notebook number 2. This is actually a very cool story.
I hope we got a Halloween-themed one next week.
There you go.
Ooh. All right. I'll work on that.
A challenge accepted.
In 1968, I bought my second car. It was a 1954 Oldsmobile 88 two-door sedan with a big, powerful V8 and a smooth-as-pudding automatic transmission. I bet it was the Olds version of a Power Glide. I don't know if smooth as pudding is the way I describe those, but having had one.
Yes.
I bought that car for $85. Had a beautiful interior and a faded yellow paint job. The seats were all intact and clean, and the dash shone like new. knowing what I now know about having so much patience and appreciation for all things old and in need of just a little TLC, I probably could have gotten the paint to look fairly nice, too. Especially if you'd listened to the version of the show where we talked about how to detail out your paint job. Shane knows all of this stuff.
Yes.
The body was straight as an arrow. There was no rust or dents. The metal was thick as a nickel. Even the chrome was nice and shiny. I have no idea how many miles it had on it, but I would go to the gas station, fill the oil, check the gas. I'm pretty sure it had a bad main seal. At the time, gas was about 29 cents a gallon and oil was a quarter. I thought the exhaust sounded pretty cool, but in reality, it was just basically worn out, louder than it had been when it was younger, basically a rusty Swiss cheese. The original knee-action shocks were bad. 54 was the last year for the knuckle shocks, expensive to replace even then, and the car literally rode like a boat on the open ocean. A couple of my friends swore they got seasick in it one night, but I think it may have had something to do with the barley pop they'd been drinking. When I laid down my money, the Olds was only 14 years old, and it only had one owner, the proverbial little old lady, a friend of my grandmother. It was far from being the classic that it is today, and then it was just a cheap car that I could drive and not worry about too much. In today's world, it has what's considered a nice patina, and would have been a great candidate for an easy restoration. In 1968, it was just a beater.
Yes.
When I first got that behemoth of a sled, unbeknownst to me, it had a broken motor mount. And being just a young punk with little real car experience, I thought it might be cool to see how much rubber I could burn by running it in reverse and then slamming it into drive. Ah, yes. Well, the long and short of that was the sudden change of direction and torque caused the motor to jump violently around in the engine compartment. I can visualize this now. Amazingly, it caused no serious damage other than shattering the shift linkage that ran through the steering column.
I think this is the second story we've heard where somebody...
It was kind of a theme
broken
to
motor mount
beat up these old cars.
Yeah.
The tranny was fine, but suddenly I had a free-floating gear shift handle. So I went down to the local parts store, and I got a floor shifter for it. Now we're talking.
Ooh.
They didn't have one for a 54, so I got one for a 55. Hey, I mean, the car looked pretty similar on the outside, probably fit just fine. Working full-time, in addition to going to high school, I didn't have time to work on it. I wasn't in the auto shop at the time, so I took it to the local mechanic up the street from the high school, and he said, "No problem, I can install it. I'll do it for $35. He agreed there shouldn't be much difference in the shift linkage from one year to the other. After all, the cars did look pretty similar for the most part. Shane is over there smiling now. Well, a couple of days after being, you know, put off for a while, I was kind of upset they hadn't finished it, and I went over to give him an earful, and the long and the short of it was he had to beat each linkage bar and reshape them. It turns out that the 55 linkage wasn't anything like the 54, despite how similar the cars looked on the outside. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but being the conscientious mechanic that he was, he felt it only right that he give me back the car with the shift indicator on the dash working properly.
Wow.
That's nice of him. When all was said and done, I got my car back, and it had a floor shifter that really worked smoothly with an operable shift indicator, a very cool unit. He spent a bunch of hours on it, and he still only charged me the original $35. From that day on, the old boy was my mechanic, right up until he went out of business. I was the envy of everyone for having scored on my install. The linkage never failed to operate smoothly, and it was the best running transaction I ever had with a mechanical repair business. One day I planned on getting 4 new tires for the Olds after school. I mentioned that to a couple of friends, and they both expressed some disappointment that I hadn't quite burned off the rubber on the tires it had. It was decided that I should remedy that situation prior to leaving school. So, with less common sense than a teenager usually displays, and once again proving what my dad used to say, you don't have the sense to pour stuff out of a boot, I pulled into the senior parking lot. Now, the new senior parking lot was not the least conspicuous place to do a burnout, but it had speed bumps. I pulled up to one of the pristine motion inhibitors in the newly asphalted lot and placed my back tires on the leading edge. The goal was to burn off as much rubber as I could before heading to the tire store, so I placed one foot on the brake, 1 foot on the gas. I pressed down on the gas just enough to get the tires turning, and I kept the brake pressed just hard enough to keep the car from moving. This sounds very familiar.
Yes.
Once started, I gave it more gas, and I watched the smoke start to fill the area around my beater Olds. Yes, it seemed like I was doing the longest burnout in motoring history. In reality, it was pretty short time, but I generated a lot of smoke. In fact, there was so much smoke and enough wind that before too long, the administration building was engulfed in tire smoke. Not oblivious to the fact that I was doing things that were against school policy, the law, and the most basic of common sense, I let off the gas and let the car roll to a parking spot, where I left it to smolder, so to speak. The smoke from the burnout lingered, wafting out of the wheel wells, incriminating the car completely. I had gotten out and walked away, watching from a distance as the police arrived. They inspected it. They made some notes. They looked around. and they left. I guess they had bigger fish to fry than investigating a burnout where they couldn't prove who had done it. To this day, I can't tell you why nothing came of that, but I was never called in, held accountable, or contacted at any time. There could have been serious repercussions, but the only long-term result was the one-inch divot in the speed bump where I'd chewed away the asphalt. I left a short while later to go get tires before heading to work. The speed bump remained permanently scarred, I know, because I went back and looked at it many years later and surprised at how deep the mark still was. I drove that car for what seemed like a long time. As I recall now, it was only a few months before I'd found a cooler car I just had to have, so I sold the olds for $75. I'd have to guess that it's probably worth more than a couple hundred times that now, and yes, I wish I still had it. Maybe that 54 olds is floating around still, granted a new life by someone older and wiser than I was then, with more money and appreciation for the fine old lady that she was. I often look forward at local car shows, checking the telltale signs that I may have left behind, like the 8-ball on the end of the tall floor-mounted shifter. If you see her, tell her I miss her and appreciate her more today than I ever did then, just like all the other old iron that I left behind from the days of my youth.
Well, maybe it's the 54 olds in my shop.
It could be. That's right. There is one. There isn't.
There's two in there.
Yeah.
Mine in there.
Kind of reminds me of that song. Hey, if you happen to see the most beautiful
car in the world. No,
exactly.
Well, as usual, you know, David collects these great stories. This one actually was one of his. But the old Car Nut books, there are, in fact, three of them in the series, and they're just full of stuff like this. It's great stuff to do. Christmas is coming. It's only a short time away. And, you know, you can get these on Amazon. You can get them from Evancourt Press. They do make a great gift. And all three of them would be a really cool thing to see underneath the Christmas tree.
Well, and you know what's funny? I've seen a lot of divots in a lot of those.
Well, I've made a few divots.
That's pretty common practice. We used to just, my buddy with his Chevelle would actually roll up with the front wheel right on it and then hit that sucker.
Oh.
And then you'd let off the clutch. And you didn't even hardly need a break. You just were sitting there, and you'd be burning that thing off. We'd be in the back. We'd have two guys in the back. We'd be putting we'd be
pushing it,
pushing it back and forth, back and forth. And
because we were smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tires spinning and smoke.
Oh yeah. Well, I had
a little more horsepower in that thing.
I had a '63 Impala with the 283 in it.
Yeah.
And the Power Glide, and I never did, you know, roll it backwards and then cram it into drive. I just basically wound it up in neutral.
Oh, it
smashed it in there. Knew how to adjust the bands, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. We'll stay right here for more Horsepower Chrome and Rust. This week's for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino, El Camino man. Only you can understand.
Oh, it's him. It's the El Camino Man. I still like that song. It's kind of cool.
I like it.
It's the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel. We got all kinds of stuff. And, of course, usual stuff we talk about is events and rallies and, you know, movies and other fun stuff. I would have talked about the Hot Rod Hall of Fame banquet that happened last weekend, except we already did.
We got SEMA coming up. But then it turns out that Shane's not going.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
I did get a new car, though.
You did. We'll talk about that.
Well, it's a 1990 Celica.
Oh.
Oddball, but I'm going to make a rally.
Wow. Car.
Are you?
Is that from what's her name?
It is.
Yeah. Old what's her name? Yeah. I remember her well.
Arlinda.
Arlinda. Friend of ours. Mutual friend.
So it's going to get a once over. And
yeah.
A little bit of lift kit on it. And it's going to become a replica of the
455 Toronado motor or something.
Nah, I'm just going to leave what it is and just tune it up.
Yeah. Those are nice cars.
Celica. Oh, yeah. Is that a front wheel drive? No, Celica's not a front wheel
drive. Yeah, front wheel drive.
They're the GT4 and this is the GT.
Oh, that'll be good.
Excellent. Excellent.
Cool looking
so the Outback went away?
The Outback, the Celica gets way better gas mileage.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah.
I don't get it. The Outback's horrible gas mileage. 18 miles a gallon for a little car.
18?
Yeah. Jeez, that's what I get with my van out on the road.
Yeah, I think I get that with a Cadillac.
I can't haul anything in it, so it's time to send it down the lane.
Well, besides, your back window's all full of decals.
Yeah.
You can't see out of it.
Rally car coming up.
Nice.
Oh,
all
cool.
Right.
Cool.
All right. Very cool. You're going to get some stripes on there?
I'm actually going to make a replica of the 1990 Castrol GT car.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Excellent.
All right.
So it'll be cool.
All right. We'll put pictures of that on the website.
We will. We'll do progress on it.
Got to see that. That'll be good. All right. Well, so our trivia question for last week was really a pretty good one. We talked 2 weeks ago about the Corvette and, you know, how cool it was when it first came out. Ford did an answer to the Corvette, but it was later. They made, you know, the Mustang. Everybody thinks the Mustang, you know, but the Mustang was a pony car when it first came out. It was just kind of a little compact sort of a economy car.
Mm-hmm.
Neat looking car. But, yeah, when they finally decided to do it, they made the Shelby. It was actually the GT350, of course, it was the thing. And Carroll Shelby designed it, of course, and so it was a serious business, you know, sort of car. But it took them until when?
What, 70?
68. So, yeah, it was it was a few years past 53, the Corvettes. And Ford was feeling the pain, you know. It's like, well, we need a car in that category. Yeah. So they got a hold of Shelby, and Shelby, you know, came through in fine style. And the GT350s today are still one of the most valuable of the Mustangs.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, you know who came up with this answer?
No.
It was somebody at the Hot Rod Hall of Fame dinner.
Oh.
I was talking to a group of people, and they, you know, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And, oh, yeah, I do the podcast. And a young lady said to me, you are part of the Horsepower Chrome? Yeah, yeah, yeah. She said, I know the answer to your trivia question.
Oh,
and I said, you don't either. And she said, oh, I do. Well, I'm in the midst of a bunch of Hot Rod people, so, of course, somebody there is going to know. Her name is Linda Hamilton. And she said, it's the Shelby. It's the GT. And I said, well, yes, it is. You know. So she won the coveted bucket of barn find dust. And I got another question for this week. This one is, what and when was the very first car with an alternator? Not a dynamo. The very first car with an alternator. This is a good one.
Ooh, I don't even know that.
Nobody will get this
one. Did they have generators before?
Dynamo generators.
Yeah, generators.
Yeah. Now, the very first car with an actual alternator. So if you know, Facebook is one. You know, obviously, you can send an email to us at contactus@horsepowerchromeandrust.com. We have a bucket of barn find dust set aside with your name on it if you can come up with the answer to this one. This is a good one. You probably have to Google it, but you might not.
Wow, that alternator. That's
very first car with an alternator.
You know, when you look
direct drive dynamos were what they did before.
Wow. You know, when you look at cars way back in the day and then what they are now, the basic concept has not changed much at all. That's amazing.
But all of the little stuff though, the little improvements and the little fine it's like plugs, points? No.
Yeah.
Hey, that's it. The music's our cue to hit the gas until next week. Congrats to Ron Foreman, the Hot Rod Hall of Fame winner this year, along with Marcia Foreman, his wife, from the Rat Bastards. Thanks to you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I am Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Slide on by next week for another edition of Horsepower Chrome.